This is Alaskan Natives and Science. I'm Steve Will. Keeping track of marine mammals like sea otters, polar bears, and walrus has become a more complex process over the years. Numerous regional native commissions have formed to aid in marine mammal management and to protect native hunting rights. Recently, the United States Congress appropriated $80,000 for a creative program which natives and biologists manage the subsistence use of walrus together. Alaskan Natives and Science reporter Gretchen Parrish examines how the system is working in the village of Savunga on St. Lawrence Island in the Bering Sea.
Nelson Aloha is an elder and a walrus hunter in Savunga, a Yupik village on St. Lawrence Island in the Bering Sea. Voices like Aloha's have been ignored by state and federal wildlife managers in the past. So for Eskimo people, the idea of participating in the management of an animal so closely linked to their culture is long overdue. With funding from the 1994 amendments to the Marine Mammal Protection Act, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Eskimo Walrus Commission have hammered out an agreement in which hunters and the government work together as full partners. Caleb Pungawi is the executive director of the Eskimo Walrus Commission.
To have a voice in what goes on is very important, and also to recognize our knowledge of what goes on out there, but they're in daily contact. They probably see more or have understanding more of the health of a population than a scientist who goes out there every spring or summer to study the population. You know, our people have years and years of experience of observing the population.
Both sides are hoping this team approach resolves decades of conflict and mistrust. At one time, natives and managers so strongly disagreed over the walrus population, the Eskimos had to sue to retain their hunting rights. On the other side, managers have accused natives of hunting walrus only for the valuable ivory tusks. Dave McGilvery is the supervisor of the Marine Mammal Management Office with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. McGilvery concedes that native observations are more valuable than scientists had earlier believed.
We learned a couple of years ago that we don't know as much as we think we know about these animals. We had to prepare stock assessments, and there's a lot of information gaps. And so traditional knowledge obviously is something that we could learn a lot from.
The people who hunt walrus can tell scientists much about the size of the population and the reproductive health of the herd. Each spring, Fish and Wildlife staff collect some of this information directly from the hunters. In April, Jonathan Snyder travels to Savunga. He cruises down the icy beach on a snowmobile to greet the returning hunters with survey forms.
How did you do today, Truman?
One walrus and one beard seal.
One walrus and one muckluck. Yep. Okie doke. Is that a walrus male or female?
Female with calf.
Female with calf.
Snyder and the four local harvest monitors are stationed in different places along the coast. The monitors collect teeth, reproductive tracts, and unusual or diseased tissue samples, which are later examined by scientists. Joel Garlick Miller is a biologist who analyzes the samples back in a lab in Anchorage.
And what we're looking at here is a longitudinal thin section of the lower canine tooth of a walrus. Now, throughout the lifetime of the walrus, cementum, one of the tissues of teeth, is laid down in annual growth layers. So what we want to do is we section the teeth and we count the number of growth layers represented in the cementum, and this gives us an estimate of the age of the walrus.
The walrus are huge animals that weigh between 1,500 and 3,000 pounds and can average 10.5 feet in length. They spend much of their time miles offshore, following the receding ice pack north toward the Chukchi Sea in the summer and moving back south into the Bering Sea in the winter. The walrus habitat is a dangerous and challenging setting for hunters traveling in 20-foot open boats. In order to succeed or even survive, the Eskimos must have extensive knowledge of ice and currents acquired over generations. Also passed down are the traditions of respect for the walrus. At age 37, Delbert Pungawi is a young boat captain in Savunga.
When we get their animal, this is my grandparents taught me, give them their drink of water and poke their eyes. The belief is that when you kill an animal, it doesn't know it's dead. It's still looking through the eyes. So when you poke the eyes, that signifies the animal spirit is released. When you give them a drink of water, that's your respect to the animal, and that when they come back in another animal, that they'll give themselves to us again.
Monitoring the spring hunt is only part of the new co-management strategy. Natives and federal managers are beginning to formalize the new role natives will play in the management of the animals they hunt. Part of the co-management funding goes to pay expenses for Eskimo walrus commissioners to attend state, national, and international meetings on walrus issues. The congressional allocation also will be used to promote the use of all the parts of the walrus and to discourage poaching for ivory. Meanwhile, Caleb Pungawi with the Eskimo Walrus Commission is taking a wait-and-see attitude at this new system, but he is hopeful.
In co-management, you bring everybody together as a group, the managers, the biologists, the law enforcement people, and the users. You know, you have communication going always instead of just one way.
Reporting from Savunga, this is Gretchen Parrish.
Funding for the series was provided by the National Science Foundation, the Alaska Federation of Natives, and the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation. Curriculum support was provided by the Alaska Sea Grant Program at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.